You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for a successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And today I've got a guest which many of you will know. It is Dr. Minesh Patel of Timeless Smiles and the producer of the Dental Practice Huddle book. Welcome, Minesh. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Julie. Thank you for having me.
That is my absolute pleasure. I mentioned to you just before we started recording that I saw you at the Melbourne ADA Expo, and you were surrounded by people very intrigued by your huddle book. Did you have a good time at the expo?
I had a great time. I had a great time talking to all the dentists and all the different industry experts out there, and it was amazing. As I mentioned, it was a very different experience to be on the other side of the booth. Okay. No, it was very exciting to actually present the book and the aspect of it. But more exciting part was to share all the conversation with the dentist out there, that what they are doing in their practices. And they were really, really good conversation, especially I had the best conversation with the team members.
Oh, fantastic. I'm going to be intrigued to hear more about that. Can you just tell everybody, in case they haven't heard of you, and so I know too, what's been your journey? Why did you become a dentist? How did you end up in New South Wales?
So, interesting. Going back to year 2002, that's when I finished my dentistry back home in India. And then half my family is in the United States, so my brother is settled down there. And at that time, of course, doing a dental exams in America, there was a huge journey. I had to restudy everything and do the graduation again for 3 years. And so the whole exercise is going to take me about 5 years and spending about $400,000. And I said, well, that's going to be a big investment and doing the same thing or pretty much similar thing again. I'd rather. So me and my friend, he came to Melbourne, I came to Sydney in year 2004 to do my master's in public health in the University of Wollongong. So that was my first step. And within first 3 months, I was lucky enough to be an assistant with a prosthodontist, Dr. Sarkis Nalbandian. Many of you might know him. So he's a dentist in Cremorne here. So I was assistant with him, same time I was doing my dental exams and I was doing my master's. So by the end of year 2005, I finished all that part of studies and I started my private practice in two different practices. So the same practice I started as a dental assistant, I was a dentist with the same practice. And I was there for, so I only had one job in Australia so far, that was with that practice. I was there for about 7 years, and the same dentist actually helped me to set up my private practice in Sydney as well. So he was there to look at the place, look at the premise. We did the setup together, and that was amazing. And the other practice was the same dentist associate. What I say, dentistry is such a small world. Everyone knows everyone. So my principal dentist was an associate with another principal dentist. So I was working in two different practices for about 6 years as an associate. So I had a great deal of experience with those guys and I had a good mentoring. And then I set up my own practice in year 2011. And I was the founder of Timeless Smiles Dental. So there wasn't any Timeless Smiles in Australia. So I said, let me put this nice name out there. And we started from scratch. So I had no patient. I had just the building. I had my first team member who was working in a Kmart. I didn't even have a building to do her interview. So I did her interview in a cafe while they were doing the practice. And that's how I started. One assistant and me. And within 3 months, she had her friend. She joined me as a dental receptionist. So two girls and me, and that's how the journey started. Today, we have a team of 8 people, 2 associate, 1 associate dentist, 1 oral health therapist, and 4 team members. And that's where we are. We are sitting with 4,000 new patients in a practice, and it's been 10 years, almost a decade, in Pennant Hills in Sydney. It's a lovely suburb with all the families around us. So it's been a great journey.
Wonderful. And I love the name of it. Timeless Smiles is fantastic. I can't believe it hadn't already been taken.
I think there's one in the United States. That's about it. Yeah.
Tremendous. And so those 10 years of practice ownership, but so importantly, the years prior to that where you were getting that strong mentorship, I keep fearing that the mentorship side of things may be coming out of our industry over the last number of years. For whatever reason, there seems to be more and more practices being started by dentists that haven't had that benefit of being mentored by the previous owner for a number of years prior to. And you think about all of the lessons, not just in can you help me with this particular dental case, but business management, people management, communication with patients, managing complaints and failures, as well as trying to determine what goals you want to reach as a business. There's so much to learn, isn't there?
It's such an amazing thing what you just said, that when we come out of as a dentist from the universities, all we've told is how to work on patients or the models. That's the only two things we're being told. And of course, now I can see there's much more engagement being students are on social media and these groups, social media groups where people are actually sharing, students are sharing how to work and things like that. But to be very honest, when 6 years of my associateship, I hardly had any experience running a dental business. So in 2011, when I set it up, I think all I knew is what not to do. Oh my God. And so we started with, in a first year of my ownership, I started with Prime Practice. We did the Team System 1 and Team System 2 as my first, within first 6 months. And that is the best thing I would say with any coaching. Of course, I was in Sydney, and that's why I did that at that time. And that was, of course, the best help we had to introduce the systems and processes in the system, in the practice. Because the foundation of dental practice is that if we don't have the great team building systems and processes, of course, you can't run the practices efficiently, and you get daily frustrations, and that builds up. And then you can certainly be, of course, everyone knows now there's a 4 tiers of practice. There's a survival, and then you're scaling, and then you're pretty much benefiting or profiting your practice. And then at the end of that, you're going to create the legacy of your practice. That means getting ready for sailing your practice, something like that. But in the whole journey, I think the most critical part is your team building. If anything I want to say to any dental practice owner, or my learning from last 17 years of doing dentistry, I think it's going to be the team building and the running the operation side of things. That's the most challenging thing I hear all the time.
It is an enormous challenge for many practices out there. I think if, as a clinician, I imagine if you were having trouble having your fillings bonded as a very basic thing, you would then go and do research around different bonding agents and techniques and asking your colleagues, what do you do to make sure that you're fillings remain bonded for a long time. But when we struggle with our relationships or inspiring those around us to come on a journey and reach these goals together, we seem to fall back into that, oh, that's just not like me. I'm just not that kind of person, rather than doing that work, thinking, okay, specifically, how can I identify the areas that I need to improve upon, and where can I go to get that information, and then get the practice in order to modify how I do things so I do become better in that space. The self-awareness space, when I had my practice, I bought that in 2003, the self-awareness journey for my decade of practice ownership was enormous, and I'm sure you felt the same way.
Absolutely. And when you actually do the ownership, as you said, I mean, we learn from pretty much our own mistakes. And when you make mistakes, you learn. And there's only two ways of learning. We know that either you make all the mistakes or you learn from someone else's. So probably when someone asked me, of course, it gave me 10 years to make all the mistakes. But I would say, my colleagues, that you don't have to make all those again. whether it's pretty much starting the practice from scratch, which I never say it's a mistake. It was actually a great experience for me. But having said so, in the team building side, or having your team, or having to train your team, don't wait too long, because I see practice owners that, it will happen. There's no miracles out there. I mean, they keep getting frustrated, hitting the head against the wall, thinking that someone will out there. And then comes the blaming game, right? It's what's happening into my practice. It's not because of me. It's because of this, because of that. And that's where after 10 years now, I can say it all starts here.
But I remember reading a book, and I'm just looking around my library here trying to find it, and it was a book called The Titans of Dentistry. That's what it was, and it was written by an American dentist, and it was a compilation of stories by other dentists, and he asks them all various questions, and one of the questions, of course, is what did you wish you had have learned far earlier? And the answer was routinely how to engage team members, how to speak with them, how to have a relationship with them. And so it's certainly an area that if you can jump onto it really swiftly, it is you're going to see the benefits of that straight away. So fast forwarding through to today, and the Huddle Book, tell me about the establishment of the idea of the Huddle Book in your mind.
So Huddle has always been a very near and dear part to me since we did the prime practice in year 2011. So I was introduced the concept of Huddle by prime practice in 2011. And I had a $2 book from Officeworks where we used to write the Huddle in that. And I still remember we used to write 2 pages. And because there was a lot to talk. Initially, it was nothing to talk because there was no patience. I started from scratch. But I think those pages were filled up with the training that today we're going to work on this training, that training, that training. So we had all the time in the world to train myself and my team. And then, of course, it ended up being the issues as we arise. I mean, that was lab work came in the picture. And then that was follow-up came in a picture. Then we learned about saying thank you to each other when we do the right thing. We also learned about how to actually say thank you with the follow-up as well. So considering that culture in a team, that if someone is helping you, just not just say thank you and finish it, but thank you for doing this and that. And you actually want to reinforce with the statement saying that, can we increase that? Or probably I would say, create that culture of behavior pattern that we are not only acknowledging what someone has done nice to us, but we are reinforcing that behavior so it repeats, rewarding in the same aspect. So I think that sort of thing just came in step by step. And of course, then after finishing prime for about 6 months or a year, then we continued that journey right until 2015-16. Then, of course, I did another coaching with Jesse Green as well at that time for about 2 years. And then we again revised the Huddle concept in there as well. So my team members have been doing Huddle since 2011, and now those office work pages are becoming a diary by the 2014, and those diaries are getting more thicker and thicker, and the Huddle is getting smaller and strategic. And then pretty much, of course, I read your book as well. And then I had pretty much a couple of other books read on that part, that what is important. And then, of course, I keep coming up with the refined concept. So around 2018-19, I think we started having thought of, so what we used to do is, as we come up with a new point doing a Huddle, we used to write it. And it was getting a bit more of a work for a front desk that every morning they have to write 10 points and then next to it. So I said, why don't we actually prepare something that is actually, we don't have to repeat it every day. So we create some sort of just the bullet list in a Microsoft Word, and then we were sticking it on the different day. So I said, well, this is still techie. Okay, let's just try to think of something else. And then they said, why don't we just create our own Huddle Book? So we started creating a version that was aligned with us and what was important to us. But then, of course, we got a soft copy there. And then my team says, Nimesh, the things that we discuss here, don't you think all the practices will have the similar issues? I said, well, that's such a good idea. And then pretty much I thought probably, yes, can I actually go on a bigger scale and actually make it a book so that can help many other dentists? But then I said, okay, now I'm just a dentist. Where am I entering? Okay, let me just do what I'm doing. I don't want to enter into some sort of that territory. Then 2019, of course, I had the book ready. The soft copy is ready to go. And then the COVID hit in around end of, and everyone is started. So I was going to introduce the huddle book in January 2020, and I didn't do that. And then, of course, around March, April, there was a big block of time for everyone in Sydney for about 2 months. I said, well, this is the time to think. So I made a decision. I said, well, I'm going to introduce it in June 2020, and let me do that. So I created a second version, which was a financial version of huddle book. And then nothing happened. June, we were still in COVID. And then again, I decided, okay, now finally, I'm going to introduce for 2021. And I'll do that. I have actually printed it and make it happen in November 2020. We had a good seminar for introduction, inauguration of huddle book, about 40 dentists. It was a first party after the lockdown. So Derek Mahoney and his newly designed function center. We end up having 40 people there, and we had a nice inauguration there. And that's how the huddle book came in a picture. And then, of course, again, we were still, I'm a one-to-one person guy, so I wanted to go out there and actually meet and greet so many dentists to introduce this. But in a COVID, nobody has got that chance, and neither do I. So the second chance was in Melbourne ADX. And that's how I actually, yeah, and in social media, of course, as much as we could do.
Nothing like holding on to the actual book itself, though, because I've never held on to one before. But I looked on your website and saw Dr. Kinnear talking about it, and it looks magnificent. I'm a very tactile person. And we were mentioning before we started recording about the value of the handwritten note and holding on to either a book or a huddle book or a diary or a pad. It leaves a stronger impression in our brain when we handwrite things. And certainly I know that over the years when I've been a dental nurse, if I've written down a few points about a telephone conversation I had with a patient, it could have been a couple of days ago, I reflect back over those notes, I all of a sudden start remembering the whole conversation. And you don't necessarily get that when you've just typed in an appointment time and the dentist comes out and says, who made that appointment time? Can you give me some more information? Oh, I think it was this. I think it was that. But if you've written notes, it's like it brings your emotional space back to when you were writing that note and you've got all that recall happening.
It is such a nugget you have shared as a coming from a dental reception side of things. The main reason for me to write and physical aspect of the book, my huddle book is 2 kilos. It's a nice, thick, heavy book. The whole concept of physicality of huddle book was it sits at the front desk, right next to the front desk person, not in dentist's cupboard, not in dentist's desk. It is not made for the dentist. It's made for the front desk team to make dentist's life easy. So the whole concept was it is sitting right next to the front desk team, who is the main person helping the whole practice to take some notes, take some reminders. And of course, everyone can go to the huddle book. Huddle book won't come to you.
Yeah.
Yes. No. It's thicker and bigger. The other aspect of it, as you just shared, is I have never seen, and if someone can get me wrong if I'm saying that, in 20 years of my experience in dental practices, visiting or seeing them, I have never seen a one receptionist efficiently typing while they are actually on the phone and taking in a notes. Mm. You can't be that focused doing two things at the same time. Humanly, it's not possible. Yeah. It's just pretty much your focus is on either if they are doing that, I bet they are not focusing on the phone conversation, which is more important as well. But you can certainly make some notes quickly, and those some notes is going to be there in 80% of the practices still goes on to the sticky notes.
Yeah.
Then one of my conversation, you might have heard that I hate sticky notes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so my inaugural speech was saying that I hate sticky notes. And when you go to the pretty much any practices, they got a colorful front desk with every sticky notes. And it's almost like the those aeroplane where you don't know which switch to click where.
Busy dashboard.
Yeah, so it's almost like that colorful dashboard where you don't know when you want that specific conversation happen with the patient and the team member, you can't reflect back because you don't have that resource which could be there right in front of you when you want to refer back. So that was the whole aspect of any physical book in front of you where you can refer back whenever and however you want, and it will be in its original format rather than someone has to guess, oh, I think it that happened. Just like clinical notes. Once the time is gone, it's gone.
It is. It is. So your huddle book is more than just tracking that morning huddle of a daytime. Your huddle book really is it for a whole year?
That's a calendar year. It's for the entire year. So it's got the three, all the days, Monday to Saturday, mentioned that with the strategic huddle points. And of course, with each month, there is a practice management side of things as well. So I've shared some templates in the huddle book, and I'll be more than happy to send one out to you so you can actually look at the physical copy of the book. So the front side of the huddle, front part of the huddle book is a practice management templates. And then we got the huddle for the entire year. And then we also got some practice metrics, what I have shared over the years that probably what could be important, what normal coaching programs they normally talk about, what are the important aspects of any daily practice operations. They're not necessarily out there for dentists to actually track that. The practice management aspect of huddle book is to make sure your team knows it. Because when I go to seminar, when I go to lectures, or so as my colleagues, they all have their own laptops, they all have their iPads, or they got their notes in a hotel book that they have mentioned. But when they come back to the clinic in a team meeting, 90% of the time they don't have it. But 10% of the time, if they're good enough in a soft copy and they have it, their team doesn't have any feedback or any resource that they can follow. So what happens is the information is actually stored in my head as a dentist or a practice owner, but my team doesn't have a recollection of it, something they can refer back to. Just a simple example of team meetings. Just the team meetings, people actually do it on a software and it's stored in a Google Drive or in a Dropbox or any of the backup. And when team members, you ask them, oh, didn't we discuss this in a team meeting? Okay, let me find it. They have to actually use a search term, team meetings, and then go to that folder, go to that month, go to that day, and then look at what you discussed. But if I'm being strategic out there that there's five things, action list I have discussed in a team meetings, it's there in a huddle book for that particular month or that particular quarter, right in front of me, I go quickly, it's there right in front of them that this month, today we're focusing on this. So that's the aspect of being stored in a huddle book. That is not for a dentist's record. Dentist has already got a record somewhere in the Google Drive or a Dropbox. But front desk team or your team needs to know where that action list is. Something like dental practices, I mean, this was the most common thing in an ADX and I was listening to. There is a shocking statistics. There is only about 10% of the dentists actually do the huddle. And I would be surprised. And I think if you have come across my post lately, I was doing a question that how many of you do morning huddles? I should have the figures in front of me right now. So it's about 10-20% of the practices are actually doing the huddle. Out of them, when I am asked on a consistent basis, the dentist is going late to the practice.
So the dentist is the one that's turning up too late to actually get an effective morning huddle in.
Yeah, so I mean, I was just sealed with my lips. I think if, as a practice owner, if we are not showing up and taking that ownership, then you can't expect that sort of miracle to happen by your team. So I think that is another aspect that pretty much, if you want to do a great huddle, I mean, you don't have to do the huddle because if something doesn't align with your team or align with your business model, then it's fine. But if you want to have a pretty much team that you want to connect to, and if you want to engage in your team, and I don't see any dentist who doesn't want to engage with the team, this is the integral part that I see. Because what I say is the only most important thing that I have with me and most precious thing is my time. And if I can share that 5 minutes of that precious time, first thing in the morning with my team, I'm giving them something that is invaluable. Forget about huddle. Forget about what's in the huddle. Forget about what I'm discussing. All I'm doing is I'm one human is talking to another human being and they are getting connected on a platform first thing in the morning when I'm starting my day. Rest is immaterial. Of course, when I say immaterial, rest it can always be discussed. But that's my human interaction. So there is a that was a philosophical side of the huddle as well. When we actually see that if we want to connect to the team, because how many times we connect to the team? At the lunch break, everyone is on the smartphones.
Yeah.
We're not going to go every patient and go to the front desk or every patient. We talk to the study nurse or every patient, we're going to go there. We're not going to keep talking to the D. Of course, we communicate while we're working, but that's not the same, right?
And yes. Right, a lot of industries, they have time for team meetings and, you know, maybe they have three different meetings throughout the day. They've got the time to have a coffee with each other and discuss, you know, a certain project that they might be working on or to provide some feedback about something. But dental surgeries are a different game. Every moment of that dental surgery day, as much as possible, it's being productive with a patient in the chair. And so the staff members are scattered about doing the productive stuff and don't get that opportunity to come together and connect and share and acknowledge each other's wins and what they're doing great and think about solutions about what's not going so great. We don't get that affordance of time to be able to do that. And when I do hear practices who, you know, I'm encouraging them to do the morning huddle and they're having struggles with it, I do say, can you just try to persevere? Because the benefits are so wild that I see that it's just getting into the routine of it and then doing it well a number of times that people start seeing the benefit from it. So you don't see the benefit in the first half dozen times, even the first dozen times that you're doing it. But if you stick at it and you're mindful about what are we speaking about that's, you know, that's going to help the operations of the day, help us feel more connected as a team, then I think you're going to see the benefit. And once you see that, you just continue on with it for good.
That's exactly how I see that. When we say a huddle is not a task, huddle is a culture. And if I want to compare it from what you just said, I'm happy to compare it with meditation. So when someone asks us that, do you see the benefit of meditation? You don't, because there's no benefit of meditation as a something that you can see. All you're going to do is when you keep doing the meditation on every single day, then over the some time, you will feel that you are more aware. You are just a bit more mindful. And that's how the huddle will work. Maybe from first week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 3 months, all you're going to see is that your frustrations are getting lesser and lesser and lesser. And by the time you do it for about a whole year or 6 months, you will see, oh my God, this is such a great thing. I wish I could have done this way earlier. Because automatically your team is actually reminding each other. They know when to do the study, when it's a busy time. They know when the lab work is arriving because they have just spoken in the first thing in the morning. They also know that which clinician is doing what, when to ask a Google review. Otherwise, rather than keep thinking about pretty much, okay, we ask, my team doesn't ask for Google review. We tried, but it doesn't work.
Right.
And then I said,
and it doesn't work, just like marketing, promotions, SEO, a dental coach. We tried it. It didn't work. So we're never going to use that again.
Yeah. So I was the same a few years back when I said, well, okay, I don't get many Google reviews. But then you be strategic that today, 3 p.m., Mrs. Jones is coming for her as a new patient. Let's give her a 7-star customer service and let's ask for a Google review. So now I'm being strategic. And when I'm going to discuss that, first thing in the morning, I'm not assuming I'm mostly saying that today at 3 p.m. the patient is coming to Mrs. Jones. We're going to ask the Google review. And same as for the Facebook post. Some practices, oh, I told my front desk to do the social media, but then they didn't do it. But have you been strategic? Did you tell that first thing in the morning, don't we need a reminder? I need about 5 reminders to prepare one treatment plan. And I'm being human. So as the front desk needs the reminder and the team needs a reminder. So when we're going to do that?
Yeah. And I think what you said then is so key. We are human, and our human state is to go to default patterns wherever possible, because that's what takes the least amount of energy out of us. And so we will be in default unless there's a pattern interrupt there somewhere. And one of the things that I love about a morning huddle is that it provides that clear intention. Today we're going to do this. When we have a staff meeting, for example, we could say, okay, we're going to start asking for Google reviews. We'll use that as your example. We're going to start asking for Google reviews. Do we all agree on that? Yeah, we all agree. It's a great idea. Let's do that then. So everyone have the intention of doing that. And then the reason it doesn't happen is because we don't get that reminder every day. We don't get the prompt. We don't get that small little push, do it for this particular patient. And so when you have got that morning huddle happening, you say, okay, remember our focus this month is asking for a Google review. Which patient's going to be asked? Who's going to ask? And how are you going to ask it? All of a sudden, you are creating a process where you are making sure that you're giving it every chance in the world to actually happen. Everything else is too broad. We really do need to make that action step on the day.
Exactly. And it's just the mindfulness and being strategic for any task, whether it being, and I think the second thing, something like a lab work reminder is, okay, it just sounds like such a small point. And I hear dentists saying, oh, my dear does that a day before and it always happens. But nobody is going to share that how many times they miss it.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything like that, I mean, it sounds like a very small, but these small, small things, whether it being a Google review, whether it being a social media, whether it's being a lab work or your new patient phone calls, that's a big topic we can talk about, and cancellations and rebookings, all those emergency spots in a country practices. When I talk to my dentist colleagues, they're busy booked out for 3 months and they don't have any emergency spots. So how I am actually going to tell my front desk staff that there is an emergency spot that you can fit the patient in? All I hear is the frustration. Oh, didn't you know that I got a 3 o'clock time block? You could have booked the patient in. Why did you just say, no, we are fully booked? Well, you didn't tell that 3 o'clock time slot was for your coffee, was talking to your wife, for your meditation, or for my booking emergency slot. How would I know that? And rather than keep getting frustrated as a practice owner, the front desk just need a little reminder first thing in the morning that maybe at 3 o'clock we got that emergency slot. Please book the patient if you have one. Simple as that. Rather than maybe has to come while I'm actually with the 5 magnification loops, I'm doing a root canal, and suddenly the front desk comes, oh, I got this emergency patient. Where can I book it in? And then you look at from the loops, looking at like that. Don't you know?
That's right. It's really as a way of indicating to the audience out there who aren't doing morning huddles, the identification of all of these little areas seem small by themselves, but it's the compounding effect of half a dozen of them in any given day, and it really does interrupt the operations of the day. And if I can give the analogy of, yes, be a dentist, you're sitting there in the surgery and you're doing your root canal. And it can go very smoothly from where to go. You've got an hour, you get everything done that you wanted to get done in that 1 hour. You're not exhausted, you're not harassed, everything worked quite well. As opposed to, oh, we've run out of AH26. Oh, I don't have the ProTaper machine charged. This is, I was a nurse years ago, and so I may get my terminology wrong. The machinery is not charged, the compressor cut out. The dental nurse was late coming back from lunch. Another staff member came in and went through the drawers to find something that they needed. And all you need is for those sort of interruptions to happen 2-3 times during an appointment time. And as a clinician and as a clinical team, you feel harassed and it's been an effort to get through that appointment time. And that's what the morning huddle does. It stops all of that stuff happening throughout the normal day.
And over the period, as you said, all these little small frustration that I've been through, and we were just experimenting that almost, that by sharing these little points, how much life is getting easier. And it's everyone is happy. There is less stress. Just simply by introducing when we do the autoclave cycles, it made our life so easy over the years. Now it's a second nature in the team members. All they had to do is there's about 6 patients, and I'm hoping that everyone has got a limited amount of scalers set out there. Sometimes there is a 10 clean in a row on your hygienist book and your book, and then there is pretty much not enough instruments. So how do they manage? And when they talk, rather than getting frustrated, okay, now you have to wait 20 minutes waiting for a cycle to finish. It sounds as simple as that, but these are the small issues that builds up and builds up the stress. And the team doesn't want it. Nobody likes it. And I think what we realize that nowadays, those practice operations, I don't even have to think.
And
so,
as a team, it's really training your team as well to approach every day proactively rather than reactively. So you've got control over the day, then being forced to dodge and weave around the normal things that do go wrong in any given day.
Yeah, I mean, no practice is immune to issues. What we are trying to do is we are being specific, and I don't mean to say that we need to have a 15-20 minutes spent on a huddle or something. It could be 5-10 minutes being very strategic. There, it needs to be just this. This part is for the front desk, this part is for the back-end team, this part is for the clinician, and these are the general points. So, and that's how pretty much I have designed the huddle book as well. So when we're talking about that, it's being more strategic around the team members. And of course, trying to not to spend too much of time, just spend 5-10 minutes of time and just talk about those important aspects. And over the time, your team will be so trained, they don't need to know a couple of things. You don't need to know a couple of things. You only need to focus on 1 or 2 things or 2 or 3 things as a clinician. And then the team will have their own quick huddle and they can finish it.
Yeah.
That's how it should.
Nice. And all the other information that you've got in the huddle book, I'm just imagining being a dental receptionist and you're coming into the staff meeting and there's a mad scramble, as you say, to try to find the soft copy of the previous meeting notes. You can't quite find them, so it's okay. I'll just bring along the agenda of what I want to get discussed today. As opposed to, let's start off every team meeting with the to-do list from the last team meeting. And whoever's got is the master of the huddle book.
Yes,
they just flick back through the pages and it's right there in front of them. And all of a sudden, you've got this way of maintaining the momentum of all the action items that you've identified every month. They don't get lost. You don't end up having, because one of the common complaints I get in dental teams are that there's always a lot of stuff being spoken about that we're going to do, but we never do it. And so your huddle book really helps that process to have people accountable to specific things, to specific action points, and that follow-up that we were mentioning earlier that we need those reminders and that follow-up to actually get things happening.
And that is so true, because we got 80% of the knowledge out there, or 80% of the information out there. What's lacking is the 20% of the implementation or the action that we talk about. There's so much of noise out there in a daily practice. We got the software, we got the software reports, we got the new softwares coming, we got the new technology coming. In ADX, of course, there's a few more things introduced there, and they get integrated with the software. And they say, okay, now you've got 2 other integration with the software, your primary software. And I know that 90% of the practice is still not trained with the basic software. And now they got another add-ons. So we got so much of noise and information out there, your staff and yourself get overwhelmed. What we want to make is team's life easy. And then they will comply, or then they will be much more motivated to take action. Because what we're trying to do is we're just telling them and bombarding them with this software, that digital. And I'm not against digital. I love digital part. And of course, there will be some digital version coming soon as well on the Huddle side for the people who likes digital. The thing is the accountability, or that action that you just mentioned, that you just need to flip the team meeting page. You look at there, there's already a last team meeting's 5 points. Have we done that? Yes, no. 3 points done, 2 points not done. Let's work on it. What was happened? What was the roadblocks? Can we work on it? And move on. Team meeting, what's today's agenda? Action list, there's 5 categories, DA, front desk, clinician, and let's tick, 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 done. Simple as that. Half an hour team meeting can be done like that. Otherwise, it takes 20 minutes to find what we did and what we would be doing.
That's right. And I'm a big fan of sharing key performance indicators and tracking key performance indicators and discussing them as a team, because I can't think of any key performance indicator in a dental practice management space that isn't influenced by the behaviors and actions of the whole team. One classic example is conversion of patients into their treatment plans. You think, oh, that's just a dentist thing. But no, if the dentist is well supported by the receptionist and there's an effective handover, then the receptionist picks up that ball, maintains that sense of urgency, sense of importance over that treatment plan with the patient, and that patient gets that consistent sense that, yes, there are going to be repercussions if I don't go forward with this. So I need to make a plan. If I don't do it straight away, I need to make a plan to get this sort of thing happening. The new patient flow coming in, maybe one of the things that you can do to encourage new patient flow is to make sure that you are offering a 7-star service, which requires everyone to be on board with that. So to be able to track certain key performance indicators in your huddle book, and then discuss those at your regular team meetings. Again, so easy to source because it's all right there in front of you in physical format. That huddle book just becomes kind of like the Bible that you take through with you for the whole year.
Yeah, and that's what I normally refer as a single point resource book for your desktop, because I think in that one resource, which is for the team, and I like to repeat this sentence, it is for the team, it is not for dentists. Because a lot of dentists get confused that, oh, okay, it's like a book. Am I going to read it or what? It's not about engulfing the information out there. It is pretty much a resource for the front desk team. Whether it's just as simple as, when is my practice manager going on a leave for a few days? There's a section over there, we call it a key relevance dates. Sometimes dentist doesn't know that one key team member is going on certain days. It starts with putting your days of leave, because I always like to organize. I want to put my leaves first to make sure that how many days I'm working in a schedule. And then, of course, it also has the element of something as a, if of course you are aware of the Eisenhower matrix of urgent, important. So some of those aspects are there. We want to make sure that many practice owners, including me, were baffling that what does team member do in a bonus time? We got, especially in a time like this, I had my team all the time working in the lockdown time. So I suggested them, I got a pile of work that you can run another 6 months of lockdown. So there were never going to be a dull moment there. So pretty much all those key, urgent, important aspect of the metrics, if we have conveyed once with the team members and it is there as a resource in front of you, sometimes they want to refer back. Because I think dentists keep getting frustrated that we have 2-3 hours of block of time and they just kept cleaning the drawers. But they just kept doing what they felt right, because they were not being told what is right for you and what is right for them. So it's just one of those things that what is important to me as a business owner, the team member needs to be on the same page. And if I haven't told them and then I get frustrated they haven't done it, then it's not their fault.
That's for sure. And I like it that you said it brings the huddle book brings everybody on the same page.
Yes, it's connecting the team, isn't it? That's why I have to create a logo with connecting the team. I love that.
With the discussions you were having with team members at ADX, how were mm-hmm. they receiving the huddle book? What were their comments around it?
Do you want me to be dead honest? Okay, I have to be dead honest. Most of the team members says 80% or more said we don't do the huddle. Some of the practice they did, yes, we do the huddle, but my dentist is not there with us, so I don't know who makes a decision. Some of the practice managers, they were really, really impressed that this is a great resource that I want to introduce in my practice, but I'm not sure how to start it. So for them, I think I recorded a webinar for the training, start to finish, for the step-by-step, that everyone who receives the huddle book, they also get a free training with a webinar recording, which is about an hour, to get the team members to actually get trained on it. And of course, I always recommend that I'm a dentist and founder of the huddle book, but I'm not a practice coach. That's where I got someone like you and all the people out there who actually have done the coaching for all these years. So my job is out there to provide them a resource book. But then I also want to emphasize the fact that there are people out there who is going to teach you how the huddle is being done and how to actually maximize that in other aspects of the practice management. And that's where you need a coach. You need a coach to learn the, and many practice, I think many of the practice owners, they never did any sort of coaching. So they never knew about what is huddle and all that. So they just, I don't know, I just read something out there and they don't do it because they just don't know what's the importance of it and where they can get the value out of it. So I would highly encourage all the dental practice owners pretty much to get engaged with any coaching, including yours. You had an amazing coaching resource. I looked at the website and I think, and you got something like, what, 25 years of experience, not just as a team member, but as a practice manager, as a dentist, dental practice owner, and all that resource for training, you need it. You need to understand what the huddle is before you start doing it. And then, of course, you've got the resource book where you use it. So everything is done for dental practice owner. And I got some surprise for all your listeners today. I'm happy to share it. Yes.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that our discussion has impressed upon them how effective morning huddles can be in helping reduce stress, increase efficiency, mm-hmm. and increase productivity, but also bring that your team-connected, happy, caring nature to your culture as well. So if they are intrigued about incorporating a morning huddle into their practice, the morning huddle book is the way to go. And what special offering do you have?
I'm going to, all the listeners of your podcast and any of you in your teamwork, they all get a free copy of huddle book. Yeah. All they have to do is just pretty much do the handling and shipping cost, which is as simple as $35. Normally, huddle book is $125. So they receive the copy of the book nicely packaged to them, delivered to them, and they can use your coupon code. I'll create a coupon code. It's going to be JPPS. Am I saying it right?
Perfect.
JPPS. Yes, that's the coupon code. And all they do is just the shipping and handling cost, and they will receive a free copy of it. I will also, once they do the ordering, I will have their email address and I will send them the webinar recording, which has a full training. And they got access to me through the social media, through the Facebook Messenger. Anytime if they have any question, more than happy to answer it and help them out.
What an enormously generous, generous offering that I appreciate it so very much. Thank you very much. And I hope that many dental practices do take you up on it, because it's only through the effective practice of your morning huddles that you really get to understand what the value is, and it's going to make the operations of your day go so much more smoothly. So go to the show notes and place your order via the links that are in there.
So you can easily go to huddlebookfordentist.com and use the coupon code to order your huddle book. And all the profits of this huddle book that will be used to sponsor the children in need for their education. So I actually personally handpick the children who is in need, and they actually get all the education sponsored. So, of course, I got a family in India, I got a family in America, and one of my niece, she is also in a project for something like this. So she actually works with the foster kids. So we actually provide them all the resources they need through the profits of these huddle book sets.
Oh, gosh, how very noble. That's wonderful. Yeah. Goodness me. It's a really lovely endeavor, for sure. Even more reason to support this huddle book, I say.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty much, I think, the whole idea came just behind from that concept. It was, of course, I was hitting 40s, and I'm sure you're not recording this, but I was hitting 40s and I realized, okay, what is something I can do apart from what I was doing in general? And then, of course, I said, I don't know what's the calling and what's the purpose. And sometimes you just do the things and you keep taking actions. And suddenly you realize that, yes, there could be something out there which is much beyond than what we do on an everyday basis. And I'm not very fond of just giving the money out there because it doesn't always go to the right place. And of course, coming from an Indian background, and my sister, she also works in that vicinity where we always want to sponsor the child and actually give the books rather than give the money. Because when you give the money, it could go to the dad's business or who knows. So I think we handpick the children and then do that. So my niece she's in California, in San Francisco. That's where my brother lives. So she actually works with all over the country. She has actually set up her website and she likes to pick up the foster kids. And it could be anywhere in the... So last year she was in Brazil. So she's 16 years old. So she picks up and she likes to liaise with some of the company, charity company there, and then they will do the nappies or they will do the school bags or they will do the water bottles, any of those things. And it's amazing. I said, at 16 years, if she could do that, I think now it's the time at least I could do something beyond that.
It's fantastic, fantastic. Gosh, yeah, I really do like that story. And it is a lovely thing to reflect upon as human beings. What could I possibly do that will make life a little bit easier for somebody else? And I do like that you've identified as well that the money doesn't always go where it's supposed to go, where your intention is for it to go. So you go in that extra step to make sure that you're then handing over a book rather than just the cash.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much last year. Of course, with the COVID, you can't go anywhere. So that's why handpicking is not easy at the moment. So can't wait to go to India and do something like that. You know, I think my wife, she's physio, so she has got her school kids. So, I mean, sometimes it's good to see that someone is actually getting at the first tier level help, because otherwise, I think whether it's World Vision or I've done the buy one, get one, be one, G1 thing. There's a lot of other expenses involved. So basically, by the time it reaches to the people, it's not dollar to dollar.
Nice. Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your intention to the world. I think it's magnificent. I love this wonderful intention to bring team members together and have smooth running dental practices through your huddle book. And I'll also add the website of that charitable location as well within the show notes so people can read up to see where their money is going. Because I imagine once you love the huddle book, you buy it every year.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, of course.
A library of years of huddle books that you can reflect back on. You've owned your practice for 10 years. This is the journey.
This is the journey, isn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on pretty much how, of course, I'm a hoarder. So last in the COVID time when we were looking at it, they found all these huddle books for last 10 years and this Nimesh, you're not going to use it. Please throw it. So I had my first dental assistant writing the notes. So I was actually showing them, yeah, this is Lauren is actually still writing the notes and we used to do this. But it's amazing. It's amazing that it's probably not many, we are getting paper free. I do acknowledge that part as well. But at the same time, when we're talking about accountability, nothing beats ticking.
You're absolutely right. I'm a big fan of the physical, that's for sure. Well, thank you so much, Nimesh. It's been such a delight to hear about your story and hear about how the dental practice huddle book came to be and the impact that it can have on dental teams out there. So I encourage everyone, jump onto the show notes, register your purchase, and also help support educating children as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Julie.
Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you should join the club. The club members receive an online lunch and learn every week where I share insights, systems, and strategies to improve the success of your practice. These lunch and learns could not be easier. They are recording, so you can watch them at a time that suits you. Members also have full access to the library of all of our past topics. It is a powerful and effective way to upskill your team. I hope to see you there.